Sixth case of the day, appeal number 07-1808, United States versus Jimenez de Garcia. Mr. Rosen.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Mark Rosen appears on behalf of Appellant Mauricio Jimenez de Garcia. The basic gist of this case is there was absolutely no good reason why the federal government couldn't have started this prosecution back in August of 2004 when INS knew that my client was essentially an illegal alien and in custody. There was no reason why this case had to wait until basically January of 06 when they slapped, actually December of 05 when they indicted him, January of 06 when they slapped him with a detainer, and August of 2006 when they basically brought him to arrest. That whole delay, based upon the case law, was unreasonable, unnecessary, and whether or not it's innocent or not, we don't even, under the Los Santos case, it's very tough for us to prove bad faith, but it was clearly unreasonable. There was no reason that couldn't have been brought forth back in August of 2004 when they first found out about his presence here.
I thought there was an ongoing investigation. Isn't that right?
Well, two things, Your Honor. First of all, the ongoing investigation under Mr. Phillips' letter never states what it was for, never explains it, never states what it was about. It indicates it went from November of 04 until December of 05. There's no explanation for why it was so long, why it terminated basically 1 month prior to my client was sentenced to state court in January 6th of 06. Why it fortuitously terminated right then and there. And also, it had nothing, there's absolutely no explanation as to how it had anything to do with this illegal reentry case, which was basically cut and dried from the moment my client illegally reentered the country, which INS knew about in August of 2004. That's a void. It's our position that whatever that investigation was from November of 04 till December of 05, however long that takes, that seems to be a highly unreasonable length of time for any sort of investigation, even a large RICO case, but there's no explanation for what it is, and it doesn't change the fact. It's essentially a smokescreen to avoid the fact as to why you didn't indict him on an illegal reentry case in August of 2004 when INS knew he was here, and it's a simple piece of paper. He's here. He's not supposed to be here. Boom. Let's indict him. And that would have basically allowed him to potentially get a concurrent sentence in state court.
Counsel, didn't he get a lower sentence?
He got a lower sentence.
Below the guidelines?
Well, it wasn't under the guidelines. It was under 3553A.
Right. It's below it, though, isn't it?
It was below the guidelines, Your Honor.
Then why is it unreasonable?
Well, it's unreasonable because the 3553A factors that Judge Adelman used to go months underneath the guideline range was based upon his family factors back in Mexico, poverty, those sorts of things. That has nothing to do with the fact that had he been sentenced back in August of 2004, he possibly would have gotten a concurrent state sentence, and he possibly would have. Judge Stadmiller indicated in February of 07 that he thought that this was taking too long and it should have been prosecuted earlier, and he tried to give my client a sentence that was concurrent back to January of 06, but he couldn't do that. So that has nothing to do with that. It's our position that you've got to go back, take away all that time until August of 2004, and then you still have the 3553A factors, which would still apply, the poverty, family, I think he had a sick father, that sort of things would still lower the sentence. It doesn't change the fact that this should have occurred back in August of 2004 when INS first knew about him, and it was whether it's innocent delay or not is irrelevant under Saldana. It was still totally unreasonable and still totally affected his ability.
How many times has he entered the U.S. illegally?
I think this was his third, from my recollection.
Do you think he should be given the benefit?
Well, I don't think the benefit is the issue, Your Honor. I think the issue is that they knew about him in August of 2004.
They should jump at once.
Well, the law.
How far behind are we in sending these people back?
Well,
a long ways to catch up to it.
Right, but I just think that in this case, August of 2004 is when they knew about him. They should have started the prosecution then, and that would have allowed the statute, the case law standards, possibly as the concurrent sentences, that sort of thing, that basically the government basically took away from him because of this totally unreasonable delay until it was fortuitous. Oh, he's done. We're going to slap the indictment a month before, or less than a month before he gets the state sentence, slap him with the federal detainer, bring him back when the state sentence is over. They just allowed the state sentence to just, the state case to just go on and on and on for almost 18, 19 months without doing anything, harming him basically from allowing this possibility of getting in these concurrent sentences, and totally took away that option.
Well, didn't Judge Adelman specifically say he didn't think a concurrent sentence would be appropriate?
That was Judge Adelman. Judge Stadmiller also said that he thought, he tried to give my client a concurrent sentence, and he tried to indicate, he did indicate this thing should have been prosecuted much earlier, and plus it doesn't change the fact that if he had been, my client had been prosecuted in August of 2004,
well, that, what Judge Stadmiller said has no relevance here. He wasn't the sentencing judge. Judge Adelman specifically made a ruling that he didn't think a concurrent sentence was appropriate, so there isn't any prejudice here.
Well, but it also kept him from getting a state court sentence that would have been concurrent.
That's entirely speculative, and that presupposes that the federal prosecution would have been wrapped up before the state prosecution in order for the state judge to make the sentence concurrent.
That's twice
speculative. Every time they sent him back, he came back illegally. He did it three or four times.
Right. But as far as that, it may be speculative or not, Your Honor. It's just that by the way it delayed it, it took away that option.
Does the record tell us why Judge Stadmiller passed the case to Judge Adelman?
I don't recall, Your Honor. I think it was basically a one-sentence order of recusal. I think he felt maybe he knew too much about the case. I never really...
Why would that? And you're supposed to know a lot about the case if you're sentencing somebody, so...
I don't know, Your Honor. I can't tell you. My recollection from Judge Stadmiller's order was...
The answer is the record doesn't tell us then why. It just moved from... Stadmiller took the plea and had a sentencing hearing, but then it went to Judge Adelman.
That's correct.
That's all we know.
That's all I know, too, Your Honor. I don't know. But as far as the investigation, and that's basically our position, is that there should be this departure given from... basically taken back to August of 2004 when the government first knew about his presence here, and we're asking for the court to give the appropriate relief that we are seeking in our motion. If there are no further questions, I will yield to counsel.
Okay. Thank you. Hear from the former Kelly Brown.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, my name is now Kelly Watzka, and I represent the United States in this matter. I would like to start by addressing...
I know that's your name. I just...
you just like using it?
Former Kelly Brown. Hard to get used to you.
It's hard to get used to it, and it's been 10 years of marriage, Judge. I'd like to start by addressing the question that you raised, Judge Evans, most recently, and that is, does the record reflect why Judge Stadmiller recused himself? I respectfully disagree with Attorney Rosen. I think the record does establish that Judge Stadmiller had an issue with my office's a view of the fast-track issue, which was an issue that was raised by defense counsel but has since been abandoned on appeal. Judge Stadmiller also, at the initial sentencing hearing, frankly admonished this court for its rulings on the fast-track issue. And how that initial hearing resolved was Judge Stadmiller ordered the parties to confer and to reach a mutual agreement as to what the sentence should be, and that he made it clear that he viewed that mutual recommendation should be a sentence below the advisory guideline range, but yet still somehow comport with this court's rulings on the fast-track issue. My office respectfully declined to enter into that kind of recommendation, and following notification to the court of our view, the judge issued his recusal order and the matter was reassigned to Judge Adelman. I want to address next a question raised by Judge Sykes, and that is with respect to this other investigation that was happening. Again, I respectfully disagree with Attorney Rosen about sort of the timing of these matters. He would like this court to look at sort of from the moment that the defendant was arrested on the outstanding state warrant, August of 2004, and say at that point, boom, he should have been indicted. Frankly, the matter was not fully, the illegal reentry matter was not fully investigated until November of 2004. It was at that point referred to our office. And that's because while ICE, of course, had received information suggesting that the defendant was in state custody, he was being detained under a different name there. They needed an opportunity to interview him. They needed an opportunity to confirm that he had not sought permission to reenter the United States. And so the referral was not made till November of 2004. After that point, and by way of background, at about the same time that that referral was made to my office also received information from a source of information suggesting the defendant's involvement in other serious criminal activity. Now, Attorney Rosen is highly critical of the United States for not having disclosed more information about the nature of that investigation, but frankly, it would have been improper for my colleague, Nelson Phillips, who prosecuted this matter before the district court, to go into any great detail regarding the nature of that grand jury investigation. But he represented, as an officer of the court, to Judge Adelman, that that investigation took place between approximately November of 2004 and December of 2005. And at the conclusion of that grand jury investigation, AUSA Phillips determined that there was not sufficient evidence to pursue criminal charges with respect to the other criminal activity. Now, I think one could argue that that period of delay, that approximate 13-month period of delay, really inured to the defendant's benefit because it represented a prosecutor who, instead of rushing to judgment, conducted an investigation to determine whether or not there were additional charges were warranted and ultimately decided that they weren't. And so in December of 2005, presented the matter to the grand jury and sought only criminal charges with respect to the illegal reentry. I think that was a perfectly reasonable approach to take. It certainly was a practical approach to take. I think prosecutors are entitled to have a complete picture of a defendant's criminal activity before making charging decisions, and it certainly is practical from a resource standpoint as well. After that, the defendant was a detainer was imposed. The defendant was notified of his of the federal charges, given an opportunity to invoke his rights under the IAD. That notice was served on him sometime in January of 2006, and he declined to invoke his rights. And so ultimately what happened is he was not produced for arraignment on the federal charges until his state sentence resolved in August of 2006. I think that there was absolutely no basis for a finding of bad faith or improper motive, and it wasn't an unreasonable delay. But even if the court had concerns about the reasonableness of the delay, Judge Sykes is right. There's no prejudice here. The record could not be clearer. Judge Adelman would not have imposed a concurrent sentence even if he had had the opportunity to do so. He did consider the defendant's argument that that he could have sought concurrent time on both his federal and state sentences. And the judge clearly said that, in my view, would have been an inappropriate sentence. It would not have fairly punished these separate and distinct offenses. And so I just think that there's absolutely no basis on this record to be concerned with the delay, which I guess brings us to the ultimate question in this case, and that is whether the 60-month sentence, a sentence that was 17 months below the advisory guideline range, was reasonable. And from the government's perspective, the defendant was extremely fortunate to have received that sentence based on this record. Here we have a defendant who was convicted for his third time of illegally reentering this country. On his previous two convictions, he received the privilege of fast-track dispositions and promptly abused those privileges by not only returning to this country, but by committing additional crimes that really presented a true danger to this, to the communities in which he returned. He's really demonstrated zero respect for the law, and he's done that repeatedly by using false names, by failing to appear for court when he's ordered to do so, by engaging in a high-speed chase with police officers through a residential neighborhood during which a loaded weapon was thrown onto a sidewalk where pedestrians were present. And so, again, from the government's perspective, this defendant's sentence was very lenient, too lenient from our perspective. Nevertheless, the government recognizes that in this post-Booker world, reasonable minds are going to disagree. And there can be no doubt on the record before this court that Judge Adelman properly calculated the defendant's guideline range, considered all of the arguments of the parties, fashioned a sentence which, in his view, accounted for the fact that a serious punishment needed to be imposed. As he reasoned, this sentence was about 2.5 times longer than prior sentences handed out in the reentry cases, yet accounted for the fact that the defendant had some unique family circumstances and had apparently made some efforts to better himself while in custody. In doing so, the judge rejected the defense request for an 18 to 24-month sentence and also rejected the government's request for a guideline sentence. And so ultimately, everybody walked away from that courtroom that morning a little dissatisfied. But regardless of that dissatisfaction, the record unquestionably establishes that the judge exercised his sentencing discretion reasonably. And so we ask the court to affirm. Unless the court has any further questions, I'll rest on my brief. Thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Rosen?
As far as the other investigation in this case is concerned, I think counsel indicated that there was some investigation in this case. INS knew of his presence in August of 2004. Judge Stadmiller indicated that this could have been resolved much earlier through fingerprints, checking out. As far as the confirmation regarding the no permission to be in this country, that was resolved in September of 2004, which still leaves a two-month lag until November of 2004 when INS finally decided to interview him. As far as this other investigations going on, other people know, somebody told somebody something that took 13 months ago. Once again, it's our position that that is irrelevant to what's going on here with this illegal reentry case, which is what we've got here. The government could have indicted him in August of 2004 if they wanted to, if this other case was going to pop up, something was going to come out of it. They could have done a superseding indictment and added those charges. There's no explanation as to why that did not happen. As far as the Interstate Agreement on Detainers Act, once again, that was placed on him in January of 2006. That does not explain what happened from August of 2004 until January of 2006. That's a six-month, IAD is a six-month time limit, and that basically would have taken until June of 2006, which was when he got arrested anyway. Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Rosen, you were appointed in this case. We thank you for accepting the appointment. You have our gratitude for vigorously representing your client. You're also inferentially involved in the eighth case that we have today, the second case Mr. McGowan is going to be talking about in about 20 minutes. So maybe you already know that. I would. Okay, we move to...